Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Whoa, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. Sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. My strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name.
We worship You, Lord.
Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. I will worship Your holy name. We will worship Your holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name.
Good morning, church. Welcome to the Shore Community Church. I'm Jamie, I'm one of the ministers here. And I guess we gather this morning with a strange mix of emotions, and it's just really great to start with that song. A song that reflects upon a whole life of faithfulness and every stage of life, the call to bless the Lord and to walk with Him. And that's a very natural and apt sort of thought as we reflect upon the events of the week and the passing of our Queen. And I'd just like to take a few moments now to reflect upon that and on some other things as well. Many of you will have remembered and known Stephanie Fleet, who was a member of this church all her life, I think, many, many years. And Stephanie passed away on Friday afternoon. And many of you also will know Albert, her husband, who so faithfully tended and cared for her since her stroke 7 years ago and before as well. And we obviously our prayers are with him now as he struggles through this grief and this time. So we'll be praying about that as well. And of course, today is September the 11th. And we cannot help but reflect upon those events in 2001, the grief of that day and the grief that then flowed on from that day in so many different ways. So I think it'd be really good for us now just to pause and to reflect and to say, take some time before God to bring these things into our own minds and before the Lord and to allow His Holy Spirit to minister to us through them and through our reflections. I wonder what your emotions are today, these feelings. Some of these events might feel very close to you, very personal. Some of them might feel more remote. Perhaps the emotions, the feelings that this bring to mind causes you to reflect on your own journey, your own story. It accesses other emotions and other feelings which maybe are difficult for you, maybe joyful, maybe just require some time and some thought. And we acknowledge all of that before the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we, your children, your beloved ones, come before you, Lord, just as we are. Lord, we acknowledge our hearts and our feelings before you, Lord. Lord, we receive your kindness. We receive your loving embrace. Lord, we declare again that you are good, that all your ways are just, that you are light, and in you there is no darkness. Lord, and in our pain and in the pain of our nation, Lord, we come to you the very best place that we can come, before your throne. Lord, we give thanks for the life of our Queen. We bless you as we bless her memory, Lord. We thank you for her life of faithfulness, Lord. Thank you for the amazing example she has been of integrity and duty and faithfulness. Lord, in a world where so many figures in authority, so many of our world leaders so often and so painfully have such obvious feet of clay, Lord, we give thanks for a woman, a monarch, who put the very best of values on display at all times. Lord, we pray for her family as they grieve and process this enormous change in their lives. And we pray for our nation as we go through a time of national grieving, of readjustment, of refocus. We pray for our new king, King Charles, and we say, God save the king. Lord, we pray for your blessing and your wisdom to fill him in a measure that he has never known before. We pray for all our national leaders, Lord, for our government, Lord, for those who have responsibility in whatever walk of life over the way and the culture of our nation. Lord, for all of us in the different ways that we contribute to the life of our nation, of our community together, Lord, we ask for wisdom. We ask that we would play our part. Lord, we think of the scars around our world as we remember September the 11th, Lord. And Lord, we pray for your healing for our troubled world, Lord, especially those regions, those places that we can see that are in open conflict at the moment, where there is lack, where there is pain, where there is destruction, where there is hate, where there is war, where there is famine, Lord, where there is unchecked disease, Lord, where there is corruption and evil. Lord Jesus Christ, will you come? And in your name, will you bring healing and restoration to our world as you have promised? And Lord, much closer to home, we thank you for Steph. We thank you for her sense of humour. We thank you for her warmth, Lord. We thank you for her life, Lord. We bless her. And Lord, we thank you for Albert, who again has been such an example of diligence and faithfulness in his love and care. Lord, we pray for them especially, and especially for Albert as he comes to terms with this enormous grief and loss and has to deal with all the practicalities that follow. Lord, help us as a community to rally round, to rise up and to be everything that we can be at these times. Lord, we bring ourselves before you finally. And Lord, wherever we are today, whatever emotions and feelings, whatever reflections, whatever this is accessing for us, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In the good and the healing and the loving and the gracious and the kind and the compassionate name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Chris to share the notices with us this morning, just as he makes his way up. Just a notice to parents, there's no one to lead the under fives group today. So if you want to go out the back and play with your kids, that's absolutely fine. But there's no one to lead today, so please stay with them. Don't just drop them off. And also, we don't want a bunch of five-year-olds just running, see ya, have a good time. No, we're not going to do that, okay? By all means, if you want to play with them out the back or wherever it's convenient so you can still hear Nick's sermon later, that's absolutely fine. Joe and a group of folks, wave Joe, my lovely wife, they pray before the service. So if you want to get here at about 9:45, it's really valuable to pray for our service, to intercede, to seek the Lord for his word for us and to just intercede in whatever situations. There's a good little core group there, but please do speak to Joe if you want to find out any more about doing that. I'm going to hand over to Chris.
Good morning. Wow, sun. It's hard to follow that, isn't it? You know, it's very difficult. But what I'm trying to bring you is family news. And I think that's so important. We're doing some really, really exciting things. I hope those of you who are technically able are receiving the emails and are able to access all the bits and pieces that Carla so wonderfully puts together. And I shall just mention a couple of things that I think are very important. Let me move away. Firstly, prayer meeting. It's done by Zoom. So if you're worried about how am I going to get to church and so on, have a look on the notices. There's a link. It's dead easy. If you're unsure, we are surrounded by a plethora of people to whom computers are easy, and they'll show you what to do. Okay, I have an announcement to make. Ladies, go back to your knitting briefly. Men's group starts on Tuesday, so it should be ace. It should be absolutely brilliant. But there's a knock-on. Unfortunately, because the men have to eat, and we do have lunch here and what have you, we need a couple more volunteers for especially Tuesday morning. So if you've got a couple of hours to spare to come and smile nicely at the men, please do. Okay, on your seats, you'll find an environmental survey. Please fill it in or do it online. And as you go out, there's a basket somewhere over there ready for you to put into it. We do use this survey, and we're actually meeting on Thursday. So it would be good if you could do it, and we could sort of say, wow, everybody's filled it in, and it's brilliant. Okay, Jeff, my friend Jeff here. over the back there. He and I have been collecting wire for our talents thing. And we've been doing well, haven't we, Jeff? Genius. So if you have any spare leads, bits of computers, all that sort of lovely stuff that we find quite useful, because we'll top and tail it and we'll sell it on behalf of the talents that we're using, aren't we, Jeff? Genius. Okay, talking about talents, my wonderful wife has grown some coleus. If you're not sure what a coleus is, when you go out, have a quick look, because I'll tell you, they'll go quickly. They are looking particularly fabulous, and she's priced them very low, I think. But anyway, that's up to her. Talking about talents, we have only a few weeks left. If you're a bit stuck, you're not sure what's happening, and you've taken the money, but I'm not sure what to do with it, please come and talk to me, and I'll inspire you. Well, probably not, but I'll try anyway. Christmas, we need a coordinator for the Christmas meal. Now, that doesn't mean you've got to cook, because we've already got a cook, but we need somebody who's going to bring together all, and I'll tell you, having been there, there are dozens and dozens of different things. But if you're good at coordinating, if you're good at sort of sorting things out in October for December, please have a word with Carla, because it's a really important service that we do on Christmas Day, and it's also a lot of fun. Okay, I've done men's group church meeting. Wow, exciting. Well, it's not too bad anyway. 6th of October. And the other little notice is the karaoke has been moved to... Karaoke, did I get it wrong? Karaoke has been moved to the 19th of November, which is deeply sad, because I fancied a curry this month. Such is life. Okay, that's my notices pretty well finished, I think. I'm going to hand over to Julie, wherever she's gone. There she is. And would you do the collection at the end of this? Thank you very much indeed.
Good morning. Just very briefly, what does post-COVID church mean to you? We've obviously been through a time and people have come out with different views, different thoughts, different ways they look at things. And as a leadership, we're spending some time reflecting on how we go forward. New season, does anything need to change? Does it need to stay the same? What do you think about Sunday morning? Have you got some ideas outside the box that we could be doing on a Sunday morning? What is your vision, particularly if you've got children that you find difficult to bring to church on a Sunday morning, or probably teenagers that won't get out of bed, what would help them? And we'd really like to know. So I'm going to spend some time hopefully talking to people and gathering your thoughts, and then we're just going to put it in the mix, and obviously we're praying about where we go. But if you could either let me know that you'd like to have a chat with me, we could come in the coffee bar. I'm sure you could get a free cake and coffee as a bit of an incentive, because cake's always good, isn't it? So just to spend some time. Doesn't need to be a long time, or I'll come and see you, or you could email me. But we'd really love to hear what you're thinking. So please contact me and let me know. And now we're going to do the offering. If anyone's got baskets, I'm just going to take round our offering. If you're a visitor, please don't feel that you need to give. If you give already by standing order, don't feel guilty when the basket goes by. This is just one of the many ways that we can give. And there's some other ways that we can give up there. If you haven't got cash with you, we have a card reader that you can just tap in the lounge. And as that's going by, I'm just going to pray. Father, we want to thank you for your provision. We thank you for the money that's being given, many of it sacrificially. And we want to pray that you'd give us wisdom as we spend your resources and use your resources to further your vision in this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, we're going to continue to worship now. So if you'd like to stand and join me in worship. If you're not able to stand, then you can remain seated. That's absolutely fine. But let's just put our focus on the Lord now. Lift up our voices and just, yeah, worship Him. So we just pray a blessing upon them. Father, we thank you for the children. We thank you for the workers. We pray your blessings upon them as they learn and play and just have a great time with you in Jesus' name. Amen.
as the depends for the water, so my soul thirsts after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Sing as the deer.
And as the deer pants for the water, so my soul thirsts after you.
Church, let's sing that again. We bow down.
We bow down and confess. alone in this place. We bow down confess, you are Lord in this place. 'Cause you are all I need, you are all. It's your face I see in the presence of your love. We bow. Bow down and confess,
yes, we do, Lord.
You are Lord in this place.
We bow down to you, Lord.
Thank you, Dave, and the band for leading us in that time of reflective sung worship, some really powerful words to those songs. So I wonder how our emotions have been over the past few days. Maybe for some of us it's felt like a shock, and maybe for some of us we're not really sure what we feel. I was at a Renew Wellbeing on Friday morning in the cafe space, and there was one comment I heard from one of the health visitors that was bringing someone along, who was just saying, I didn't expect to feel as sad as I do. I don't know if that's true for any of you as well, that actually you feel a sense of grieving or a sense of loss that you didn't actually expect to feel for someone who most of us won't have met in person, but actually mourning the loss of the Queen. And in many ways, it's fair enough. She was around for 70 years as Queen. I'm no big royalist myself, but for me, it still hit me. I'm just coming up to 30 years old, and she's been around for all of my life, has always been there, and I remember those key events of the different jubilees as well, and just always used to seeing her on the screen and just knowing that she was a significant part of our nation. But even then, I think there might be more to it than that as well, in terms of the loss that we might be feeling at the moment. The writer and theologian Peter Rollins recalls when Princess Diana died. I don't know if many of you here remember that time. I can just about remember it and just seeing it on the TV screens, where there was a great plethora of people who came to Buckingham Palace and stacked up flowers on flowers and flowers, and they just went out for what seemed like miles. And all the grief and all the mourning was astounding over one person. Actually, Peter Rollins points to the fact that, or perhaps it might be because we live in a culture that doesn't know how to deal with grief. We haven't been trained well in how to grieve. So Peter Rollins says, what happens sometimes is that when a public figure dies, and besides our grief for that person, it can actually give people a way to express all of the grief that they've been carrying around that they haven't known how to deal with. And actually, when a public figure dies, it's suddenly you're grieving the loss of that person, but actually you're grieving so many other losses in your life as well, and it's that we're actually given a space to do that. I don't know if you've ever had someone public die, maybe an actor, a musician, a politician, perhaps not many politicians, but actors, musicians, people who you feel have had an influence on your life, and it deeply moves you, and moves you in a bigger way than you can even comprehend, and you can't quite figure out why it moves you so much. I don't know if you recall when Robin Williams died some years ago. That affected a lot of people. We didn't know him personally, but a lot of people loved his work. So a public figure dies, and you ask the question, why does it affect me so much? Why am I feeling these things about someone who I never met and didn't have a significant impact on my daily life? But actually, is it because it taps into all of this latent grief that's built up in us, that's unexpressed, and then it comes out? So, for this Sunday, as we are mourning the loss of the Queen, we might also be mourning other losses. We might also be bringing other feelings of grief that we might be experiencing. So what is grief? It's essentially just a natural response to loss. It's that emotional suffering that you feel when someone or something that you love is taken away or changes. Often the pain of loss, it can feel overwhelming, can't it? You might experience all kinds of different and unexpected emotions, from shock to anger to disbelief or guilt or just profound sadness. And the pain of grief, it can also disrupt our physical health as well, making it difficult to sleep or to eat or to do our daily tasks or to even think straight. And these are all normal reactions to loss. And the more significant the loss, the more intense our grief will be. And coping with the loss of someone or something that we love is one of life's biggest challenges. So for many of us, we might associate grieving with the death of a loved one, which is often the cause for the most intense type of grief. But actually, any loss can lead to grief, including relationship breakdowns or loss of health or losing a job or loss of financial stability or loss of a child or retirement or death of a pet. Even things like loss of a cherished dream that you were building up to and that never came into fruition. Or maybe loss of a friendship. Or maybe simply you're moving house or just changing your job and that you experience a sense of grief through that. Even subtle losses in life can trigger a sense of grief. You might grieve after moving away from home or graduating from university or changing jobs. And change is a form of loss, and that loss, it needs to be grieved. So we're often familiar with grief over bad things that we experience in our lives, but there's also grief over good things as well. You know, if we leave from one job to go to another, it might be a promotion, it might be a new experience that we've chosen to do, but there can still be grief that we experience when we move on from one thing to another. Remember what was lost. Maybe it was your colleagues, maybe it was some of the work environment, or maybe when your child grows up at the different stages, there can be loss of how it was before. And it can be good to change, it can be necessary to change. But when things aren't what they were before, we often mourn that and grieve that. Every time you gain something, you'll often lose something too. And the Queen herself is very quotable. And one of the things that she shared years ago is, "Grief is the price that you pay for love." I think that's very true, isn't it? And it's normal, it's healthy, it's a part of life just to let that out. So what are we like at grieving in the UK? Do you think we're good at grieving in this culture? I don't know if any of you have ever seen images on the news or maybe been to different countries, different cultures in person, where you will see a family and a village gather around a casket. You might see women throwing themselves on the coffin and they're wailing and they're weeping. And it might seem really, really over-expressive and over the top, where people are draping themselves on the casket as it's paraded through the village. You might feel like, wow, that's pretty primitive, that's quite old school. But yet, actually, funerals in the West, we sit completely still, don't we? People will often apologise, like, sorry, I just keep tearing up. At a funeral of someone that person deeply, deeply loved. And they're apologising that they feel bad about expressing their grief. I think we actually have a very repressed way that we are told how to deal with grief. We're supposed to sit there and to process it quietly and rationally. Yes, I love them. And yes, they've died. And yes, I miss them. But in other cultures, funerals can be held over a number of days, and everyone in the area attends. And they really actively ensure that the grieving family is well supported and not left alone at all during that time. And people are allowed to really express themselves and are actually openly encouraged to express their loss. On the other hand, in the UK, it can often feel as though people prefer you not to express your grief in public, and that society prefers you to step back into normality as soon as possible after the funeral. There is actually no legal right to have time off for bereavement, let alone any other form of grieving as well. You simply just got to hope for an empathetic employer. In other cultures, they actually also have a one-year after death party where they'll celebrate the person who died through sharing stories together and supporting the family. In Western culture, well, those who were close to the person who died, we might mark the anniversary of that person's death by silently remembering, perhaps shedding a tear quietly. But we often get the feeling that people outside the family, they don't really want to know. No one talks about it. So which one is really the more sophisticated and more healthy model? Letting it all out, or sitting there repressing it with no outlet? Many of us will know the story of Jesus bringing Lazarus back to life. Very well-known story. Often well-known because people reference it as the shortest verse in the Bible, where Jesus wept. It's one of those like Sunday school things as a kid, where if you had to try and recall a Bible verse, and it was like, oh, Jesus wept. That's the one I can remember. Well, actually, just on a bit of a side note, in the original Greek, Jesus wept. It says Jesus shed a tear, essentially. Jesus shed tears. And it's actually about six. It's 16 letters in the original Greek. And there's actually another verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, which is "be joyful always" in English. And it's only 14 Greek letters. Is translated "rejoice evermore." So that's a little bit of Bible trivia for you. Jesus wept is not the shortest verse in the Bible. Instead, it's 1 Thessalonians 5:16. But actually, jumping back to this story where Jesus wept. Lazarus was a close friend of Jesus, and Jesus was warned that Lazarus was really unwell. But by the time Jesus visits Lazarus, he's been dead for 4 days and is in a tomb. And then what we read next are some really profound emotional responses from Jesus. In the NRSV, it translates the end of verse 33 with saying that Jesus was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. So actually, with the Greek verbs here and the reality of what Jesus would have been expressing there, this translation is actually too weak. The first verb in that verse has a connection to anger. It's not simply a strong feeling, but actually it's more of a passion and pain that comes from anger at the situation. And then the second verb as well, the root of that is tied into the stirring up of oneself on the insides. It can be used in a physical sense of stirring up water, disturbing the calmness of a still water. And in a more personal sense, it kind of demonstrates both mental and internal disturbance that's kind of similar to almost being physically sickened and disturbed. So then we do have the second shortest verse in the Bible, where Jesus weeps. And Jesus has the same reaction that the mourners do. He weeps real tears. Jesus was angry and groaning deeply in his spirit and was stirred up in his mind, heart, and body by Lazarus's death. Jesus cried aloud. Jesus was expressing his grief. But commentators have often struggled with this passage, with that verse specifically. They ask questions of, is this an indication of human grief felt by Jesus? Or is he upset because of the crowd's grief and how that's hypocritical? Is he angry at people's continued inability to believe? Is he upset because his own death and tomb are approaching? Commentators really struggle with it and are kind of just really intrigued by this emotional Jesus and all of these suggestions. They do have some plausibility, but actually John, in the book of John, he doesn't seem interested in clarifying the reasons for Jesus' emotions here. Whatever the precise trigger, it's worth noticing that Jesus remains unmoved. Jesus doesn't remain unmoved in the presence of this death and grief. It's not just overcome by this robotic-like lack of emotion. That's not how Jesus expresses his grief. So I wonder if commentators actually struggle with this because we're simply not good at grieving. We just try to suppress it. We perhaps even see grieving as a sign of weakness at times as well. So why would Jesus, the Son of God, express something so weak? Well, perhaps Jesus is showing us how to grieve. Or simply, Jesus is expressing his own grief in a more human way that humans, even ourselves, can express. Even the incarnate God is broken in his heart and soul by the death of his friend Lazarus. Death and loss grieves God. And loss breaks our hearts and stirs up our souls. And to grieve well is to allow those feelings to come out and to release them. So it's good to feel your feelings and it is good to express your grief. In fact, it's essential. Society often has a different perspective on grief. We have that phrase of man up. I used to secretly pride myself in how long it had been since I'd last cried, and it had been about 10, 15 years since I'd last cried. But we've been on our own grieving journey over the past year, and actually it has been really freeing to be able to express that grief in different ways and to feel able to do that. Society says replace your loss as soon as you can and just get on with your life. Your dog's died, get a new dog. You've lost your partner or your partner's left you, get a new partner. If you don't like your job or you've just lost your job, just get a new job and then it will all be fine. Well, you can replace your loss, and not that any of those things are bad in of themselves. Of course, they're very natural, but to be jumping to those things, to be pushing for those things and suppressing those feelings of grief, they're not going to help us in the long run. What we actually need to do is to review our loss, to actually go through the pain of looking at our loss. One pastor shared of how he spent 3 hours with a great Christian counsellor one day. And the counsellor said, "When people have great grief in their life, I always tell them to slow down their life's pace." Many of us, we try to stay busy. But actually, he said, slow down and think thoroughly. Talk often and write introspectively. Work through it and process your grief. The world says to grieve alone, or Western society in particular, for us to handle grief by ourselves. But God says to grieve in community. On the night in the run-up to Jesus being betrayed, he was grieving deeply as he brought his disciples to the garden. And he took Peter, James, and John and said, "Come and pray with me. I need your help. I'm hurting tonight." He grieved in community. The disciples must have learned that lesson, because when Jesus found them after his resurrection, all but Thomas were gathered in one place. They were grieving in community. The world had been crushed. They were frightened and they were grieving at the same time. This is an image of when toxic waste has been buried in the ground, because we as society seem to think you could bury toxic waste and get away with it. Actually, we found out you can't. It seeps into the soil. It poisons plants. It kills animals. It seeps into the water. It pollutes the water and fish as well. You can't bury toxic waste. It keeps on causing problems. And you can't bury grief either. You have to let it out. You can't just say, "I'm just going to carry this myself for the rest of my life." The reconciliation needs to take place, and that's not going to take place overnight. There's not even necessarily going to be a clear end in sight. When we grieve well, we embark on a journey, one that has twists and turns and ups and downs. But when embraced well, there can actually be times of richness, of depth, of meaning, of joy, fulfillment, peace, all alongside the sorrow and the hurt and the anger. It is all part of the journey. But we actually have to choose to own it and to live with it and to move through it. Journeying through these things with God right alongside us. A God who weeps when we weep and is joyful when we're joyful. A God who expresses what it means to be human and to grieve well. A God who holds on to us no matter what. A God who won't just simply substitute our losses, but a God who can help us see hope in times where we've lost hope. A God who is present with us. A God who calls us to be in community with others, supporting others in their grief and allowing ourselves to be supported by others too. I'm just going to invite the band up as we bring this to a close. So we are in this period now of 10 days of mourning before the Queen's funeral. So please take this opportunity in this period of time to consider some of the things that you might need to grieve. And it can be anything, however seemingly big or small. Perhaps it might be a person or a thing in your life that is changing right now. It could be that your child has just gone into a new school year. It could be that you're changing jobs. Whatever it is, you might have gained something but losing something else, and you need to process that. So let's remember that change is a form of loss, and loss needs to be grieved. So may you be grateful for how it was, but may you grieve whatever it is that you need to grieve so that you can be present, because being present is where the life is. I'm going to pray. Loving God, I thank you that we have this opportunity to be gathered together this morning. As Jamie shared earlier, we thank you for the life of Queen Elizabeth. And as we mourn the loss of her, we also bring to mind other things that we might not yet have processed, other things that we need to grieve. Lord, may you come alongside us as we process what is lost. Lord, may you comfort us, support us, enable us to feel and tangibly sense your peace. Lord, may we experience your presence now. Amen. We're going to be moving into a time of sung worship in a moment, but we are just going to have just a minute or two of just the music in the background, and just take that moment just to pause, just to reflect, just to bring to mind anything that feels right to be sitting with God within this moment. Before we draw this service to a close, and just to say that if anyone does need any particular support, any particular prayers, there will be a group of people at the front at the end, so please do come forward. Please don't do this alone. Know that we are with you and God is with you. Amen.
Cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bowed and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone.
Church, just voices. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord our God. Beautiful church. Oh, praise the name. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. One more time, oh, praise the name. Oh, praise the Lord, oh Lord, our God.
Lord, we worship you. Oh Lord, for endless days we will sing your praise. Oh Lord, our God. You are our God. There's none greater or mightier than you, Lord. Oh Lord, for on all our days we will praise you, Lord, for you are our King, our Lord, our Redeemer, our friend. Oh Lord, you are our King. Praise be to you, Lord. Lord, we just put our focus onto you, Lord. We put our lives, we lift up our lives to you, Lord. We thank you, God, for all that you are. Hallelujah. And Lord, I just pray a blessing upon all of us as we go about our work this week. I pray, Lord, that you put peace in our hearts. Lord, you know exactly what's going on, Lord, in our lives. Lord, how we're feeling as a result of this week. Lord, how we're feeling in our lives at the moment, Lord. You know the good times and the bad times we're going through. So, God, I thank you, God, for the work that you're going to be doing in us and through us. Lord, use us, lead us by your Spirit for this week, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we can just be effective for you in your kingdom. Let your kingdom come, Lord, and let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.